program, 1:35 in the afternoon.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome to the program our good friend from ESPN, Craig Custance. Craig, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's been a while.
It has been a while. We haven't spoken to you since you made the big move over to ESPN, the worldwide leader. Craig, we have an NHL team now.
it's fun to actually have a couple teammates on board. I mean, Pierre LeBrun and Scott Burnside are as good as it gets in this business, so it's been a blast.
Absolutely. If I'm not mistaken, Craig, you are in San Jose. Is that right?
I'm actually in Detroit right now. San Jose's on the ice practicing. They play here tomorrow.
Gotcha. So we might as well
catch this practice.
We thought we'd start with the San Jose Sharks, we're talking trade deadline. It's our big trade deadline preview show today. So, you look at the Sharks, and they made the move in getting Dominic Moore. Still more moves to come for the Sharks, or do you think that that was their move to gear up for the playoffs?
That's a good question, right? I haven't talked to Doug Wilson in a couple weeks, and, Dominic Moore was a player I threw out at him, and he said, yeah, I like him a lot. He's kind of the ideal addition at the deadline. You're not giving up a ton, but he's a guy that has traditionally performed well in the playoffs. I mean, you guys saw how well he played for Tampa last year on that great third line the Lightning had a ton of production out of. And so I like that. I wouldn't be stunned if they still went out and got a top six forward and, maybe somebody who can score a little bit more. But Doug's big thing was they're expecting Marty Havlat back, and getting him back in the lineup is like adding somebody to the deadline. So, I think that's how they're looking at it.
Craig, right before you came on in the last segment, we were talking about the 2011 Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins, and obviously right now Nathan Horton's out and Rich Peverley's out, even though Peverley's expected to be back. What do you think they're going to do? We were kind of going over it and analyzing, and we think that they need another scoring winger. They've got some centers playing wing. What are the Bruins going to do? Because right now they lost to the Jets, obviously, last night, but they're gearing up to defend their Stanley Cup championships. How active do you think they're going to be at the trade deadline?
I expect Peter Chiarelli to be pretty active. I mean, they've got two things going for them. One, they've become a bit of a destination, so if somebody has a no move or no trade, that's certainly an option for them. The Boston Bruins have a ton of cap space right now. And that's a testament to the way that they've built that team. I mean, they're loaded with it, and a lot of the contenders are. I mean, the Blackhawks have a lot of cap space. I mean, Detroit, the Red Wings have a lot of cap space. So I think the Bruins have that going. And when I talked to Peter, the one big thing, like you said, they want to add a winger, a guy who can score some goals. And then, they'd like to add kind of that veteran presence. I mean, they never adequately replaced Mark Recchi in that dressing room. And there's a lot of experience in that room, so I don't think it's something they necessarily have to have. But, I think a guy like Ryan Smith would have been a great fit. And I know Boston liked him a lot. And, it's too bad that for them, that he's decided he doesn't want to go anywhere. But that's the type of player that they're looking at, veteran who can contribute offensively and like you said, play on the wing.
Craig, who's going to Toronto? Which one of – how many of the big stars? 3, 4, 5?
I think they all Toronto's getting everybody, Rick Nash. To me, the Maple Leafs are an interesting one because, Brian Burke's kind of on the prowl to make that big move. But part of me wonders – as you guys well know, and it's well documented, he hates to make the trade deadline deal. I mean, this is when you pay a little bit more than you like, and guys get desperate. And I don't think he wants to do that necessarily. And so, kind of knowing his MO and talk with a little bit, if he's going to make a huge move, you almost wonder if they're better off waiting until the draft. And who knows who else may be available. If Anaheim ends up, if they fall short and they're miraculous bid to make the playoffs, and they end up deciding they want to move one of their big three forwards, I know they would love. I mean, Ryan Getzlaf would be an absolute perfect fit in Toronto, and so part of me wonders if they're better off just doing that and making a play on a guy like Getzlaf.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Craig Custance of ESPN. Craig, the Flyers acquired Nicklas Grossman a couple days ago from the Dallas Stars. Any more moves coming? Are they going to try and shore up that the defense? Try and replace Chris Pronger maybe a little bit more, best they can.
The Flyers, I still keep hearing them connected to the Rick Nash talks, which is interesting. Because obviously you saw what Paul Holmgren did in the summer. He's an aggressive GM. He's not afraid to make a big deal. You could tell he was trying to get bigger, so size was something. And I thought he did a good job addressing that. So I don't know if it's necessarily a necessity for the Philadelphia Flyers. But at the same time, I do think, you know, they have the ammunition to make a play at Rick if you know, the Flyers are even on that short list of teams he's willing to go to. So yeah, I still think Paul Holmgren's going to be pretty aggressive. Like, I think the dream for Flyers fans is a guy like Ryan Suter, and that's just not happening. Nashville came through here yesterday. You guys saw what they did in adding Cal Gill. I mean, they're shoring up for a big move here, you know, to make a run here in the stretch. So, you know, I don't see them moving any of their big guys, but that's the kind of player the Flyers fans would love to have.
Craig, a team that has a glaring hole on the wings, in my opinion, I think most people would agree, is the Los Angeles Kings. And I think at some point, Dean Lombardi wants to kind of, you know, end the rebuilding, I think they already have, and start really making a push, not just from the 5, 6, 7, 8 slot. Do you see him making a big push for a big scoring winger, maybe preferably with some speed?
Yeah, your last point is very well taken. I think when I talk to people about the LA Kings, that's one of their concerns is when they play those really fast teams, they have a hard time keeping up, and that's when they lose big. They play everyone else close. So I think that's speed is an issue, and I think scoring is an issue. Obviously, they're last in the league in scoring, so they'd like someone. And again, that's why Rick Nash, you hear the LA Kings next to him. I think Dean Lombardi's going to make a pretty aggressive play for Rick. And you know, scoring on the wing is a necessity for them, but it's also by design. I mean, Dean Lombardi has said from day one he's building that team from the goalie out. So they got their goalies, the franchise guy, Dawson Quick. I think Bernier is going to be available. Then they've got their kind of the franchise D-men, and then they built down the middle with Kopitar and Richards. And so, really, they're one piece away, in my opinion, from being a really, really good team. But it's a big piece. I mean, they need that scoring winger, and I think that's why they're so aggressively pursuing Nash.
Craig, you know, we're talking about specific teams, but as far as specific players go, you know, we've heard about the Rick Nashes, we've heard about the Jeff Carters, and earlier we were talking about some of the other guys, some of the depth, the quote-unquote depth guys like Travis Moen, Paul Gostad, yeah, or some of the other defensemen. What are some of the players that you're hearing or you believe are for sure going to be traded and are expecting to get, you know, multiple interest?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of the guys that you mentioned. So, I mean, if you go around the league, I'm sure Buffalo's going to be a seller at some point. So Derek Roy is a guy that, you know, I know he's not a UFA, so he's not your traditional rental, but that might be a guy that's moved. Gostad, for sure, I think it's traded. And I'm in Detroit, and I think the Red Wings, he's exactly the kind of player that they love to add at the deadline, just that veteran forward who can win faceoffs and you know, play up and down your lineup. So I think he gets moved. You look at the other sellers, you know, Columbus, obviously, the big two, like you mentioned, Jeff Carter and Rick Nash, and then going down south to Tampa, I think we'll see Kubina moves here pretty shortly. I mean, Dominic Moore was the first piece to go, and I think Kubina would go next. And again, not to put the Red Wings in the mix for everybody, I think that I believe that they would like to add him too. So, you know, the problem is right now, guys, is, I mean, you guys are in Winnipeg. It's a great example of a team that still is on the fence that, yep, you know, are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? And we're seeing that throughout the league where even, you know, teams like the Islanders aren't ready to punt yet. I mean, up and down the league, parity has been, it's been a little bit tighter, and so we're just now starting to see that trade market loosen up a little bit.
You know, Craig, you mentioned that you talked to Peter Chiarelli and you've talked to other GMs. Is there any hesitancy? You know, we're hearing a little bit about the Columbus Blue Jackets don't want to trade Rick Nash, or they don't want to trade Jeff Carter now, and they're going to wait till the offseason. Is there any hesitancy, you know, amongst all GMs or teams in the NHL not to make the move now based on maybe some of the other moves that have been made with big players? I look at when Ilya Kovalchuk was traded, and if you look at the returns that they got for Ilya Kovalchuk, that trade doesn't look very good. All due respect to some of the players they got, you know, that trade was pretty one-sided. Ilya Kovalchuk's a really good hockey player. Is there any hesitancy, do you think, for some of those players, those teams not to make those moves, you know, for fear of not maybe getting enough?
You know what, you know, there's some of that. And the other kind of aspect to why this market's tightened up a little bit is, and this is a shift in strategy that we're seeing. It just used to be if your guy was a UFA and you weren't going to make the playoffs, he was dealt, and that, you know, you just loaded up on assets and went into the summer and tried to rebuild your team. And what GMs are learning now is that you got to replace those guys that you traded. So we're seeing. I mean, we saw Andy Sutton extend his contract in Edmonton. I mean, that's a guy that we thought for sure would get dealt. We saw Gleason in Carolina. Rutu is in contract negotiations. He's not going anywhere. That, to me, I mean, that's a departure. That's three players right there that have extended with their team, you know, that would have been traditional sellers in the past. And that's been a shift. And I think it's a smart one because, you know, where else is Carolina going to get a defenseman at whatever, you know, whatever Gleason signed for, 3.5, to go down to Carolina? I mean, that would have been a huge hole. And Jim Rutherford said it might have taken a couple of years to fill it. So, I mean, I think teams are finding that's more valuable than some of the things you're getting back in trade.
I think we'd be remiss, but before I think Drew's going to end off talking about the Jets, I think, Craig, we'd be remiss if we don't ask you about the mess that is the Washington Capitals. I mean, we were talking about it in the segment before, you know, buy or sell. I mean, I think they have to be a buyer, but, you know, there's so many holes in that team, really. I guess, you know, the holes in that team, and then what are they buying, and what's the end game, really?
Yeah, I don't have a great beat on the Washington Capitals, and they're kind of in a tough spot because, if you're going to be a buyer, you have to believe on some level that this is your year. And right. I mean, do you really believe the Washington Capitals are one or two players away from winning the Stanley Cup? I don't. And so, I mean, they have a tough decision to make there because, really, they're not going to do anything unless Nicholas Backstrom's healthy and on the ice and playing well. And that, I mean, we've gotten no indication that, you know, he's going to be the player that he was at any time here. So, why would you give out any assets to if your best player is going to be off the ice? So, I mean, they're in a tough spot. I really don't have a good sense of what the Capitals are going to do, but to me it doesn't make sense for them to do anything really drastic here. Like you said, they have too many holes right now.
Craig, last question. It's a pleasure for us to be able to even ask this question for the first time in 15 years. But the Winnipeg Jets trade deadline coming up, we've heard the names Jim Slater, Tanner Glass, Kyle Wellwood, Johnny Oduya. Of those, so the UFAs on the Jets roster, any one in particular that you think is definitely on his way out?
Yeah, if I had to pick one out of those guys, I would say Johnny Oduya. He's obviously, you guys know the situation. I mean, he's a UFA. There's still a lot of teams that would like to add that defenseman. And, you know, I've connected him to Chicago in the past. I think he would be almost a perfect fit for what the Blackhawks are looking for. And, you know, we've seen the dominoes start to fall with Grossman going and Hal Gill going. And the Blackhawks, they need to address that sooner rather than later. But, again, I mean, that's where Chevy gets – I mean, he's in a tough spot because the Jets are showing a lot of guts right now. I mean, a big – big win, you know, last night, and so, you know, you don't want to send the wrong message. And when I talked to Chevy, I think it was on Thursday of this week, you know, he said the word he used was it's a balancing act for today and tomorrow, and that's where he's at right now. And I don't envy him because it's a tough spot to be in. But, I think ultimately the Jets are better off as a franchise if they do, you know, get some assets and cash in on a thin market for a guy like Oduya.
Craig Custance from ESPN, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure, guys.
Take care, Craig. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Craig.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we continue going division by division, team by team. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Trade Deadline Preview on TSN 1290. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, home of Canada's only coal-fired pizza oven. Taste the difference at Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, 1580 Taylor Avenue, pizza baked. Say it along with me, boys.
Well done.
Thank you, Ozzy.
The Capo was a very good pie. I had that when we went last week.
Yeah.
Very good pizza.
That's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The pepino with the arugula is also good. Richie's a big fan of that one.
I do like the arugula.
Yeah, you do like arugula, Richard.
It's healthy. It's fresh. It's a very fresh legume. Is it a legume?
Definitely not a legume.
You sure it's not a legume?
It's not a legume.
It's a legume.
I think it's a legume.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it then?
Get Remus to check that out.
I don't know. Okay, Remus.
Is it a herb, a spice?
Remus is doing an update, but we're making a rule.
No silly voice?
If the voice is here, we're cutting in the middle.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're going to cut in the middle. We're going to make him redo it.
Well, leave Remus alone. I like his voice.
No.
I like his voice, too.
Steve Mason got pulled by the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then after getting pulled, apparently yelled at interim head coach Todd Richards. So
things are going. Steve Mason isn't stealing money.
Yeah, Steve, they're paying you an absurd amount of money. You're actually stealing money, as Richard just said. Maybe don't yell at the coach. Just throwing that out there.
But yeah, they gave him the extension after he was terrible.
It's ugly there.
Well, the general manager's terrible. So
Scotty Austin's done a bang up job there in Columbus. Let me tell you, I'm looking at that roster earlier. They got Antoine Vermette, 3.75 for long term. RJ Umberger. It's like, how many more tweeners, second, third line tweeners, do you want to give upwards of $3 to $4 million?
But
it's okay because they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they're just close. They're almost going to make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have really good success with highly drafted Russian players.
Yeah, they should definitely trade for when they trade Carter and Nash, they definitely have to acquire as many Russian players as they can.
Because Filatov worked out really well, and he was happy there, and Zhirdev was really happy there.
Yeah.
And Yakupov will probably be happy there.
Yeah.
Now that Scott O'Neill is going to be joining TSN 1290.
Yeah, we're thrilled to welcome Scott O'Neill to our team here.
Now that he's joining TSN 1290, can we do like a Columbus Blue Jacket roast? We'll get Jeff Ross on the line.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think that's a good idea either. In fact,
I don't usually have good ideas.
Yeah, you rarely do. So at least we're consistent.
Our friend Hartsey is telling us that the arugula is a salad green. So I think that would qualify as a legume.
Yeah, it's a legume.
Well, we'll find out though.
True, just because you don't eat vegetables doesn't mean you have to hold us.
That's our friend Neil who doesn't eat vegetables. I love vegetables.
No, Neil doesn't eat anything.
True enough. He eats air.
He's manorexic.
New York Rangers. Let's go to the Atlantic Division. New York Rangers, top team in the Eastern Conference. Definitely a buyer.
Definitely a buyer, Drew. You know, it's one of those teams where you don't want to mess with chemistry. But I do want to say that you also don't want to not address concerns in terms of holes on the team, even because your team is winning. Sometimes the team wins. This team's getting outshot per game, which is crazy. Now, if you look at it, or it's very close. I forget what it was, but I'll pull that up in a second here. In any event, I think they still need a D-man, and I've talked about that all year, and I actually thought Ron Hainthy always fit really well with that team.
From New York?
Yeah.
Connecticut, but
the question
same thing.
The question is, exactly, from Connecticut, Ezzy. And you look at the Rangers roster, they're getting outshot per game, almost by a shot per game, which is crazy considering their record is 37-14-5. But I still see a hole on the back end because they're dressing guys consistently like Steve Eminger. You know, they have Mike Sauer out. You know, they have Stull, McDonough, Delzato, okay?
Yeah.
Girardi and Sauer when healthy. Sauer and Girardi mounting the right side. You have the three other left-handed shooting defensemen. I still think they'd like a solid stay-at-home D-man. Maybe Hainsey doesn't necessarily fit that protocol entirely, but
upgrade.
Yeah, and they also have a poor power play.
Even though, what about like a spot check or a guy more like that?
You know what? It's interesting you say Spatrick, because you throw him as a third pairing guy. Maybe he helps your second power play, you know, because your power play isn't very good. I think they need another defenseman. And for depth reasons.
It's a rental.
Yeah, it's a rental. That's a good one, Ezzy. I like that suggestion.
You know what?
It's not going to cost you
a
lot.
They also need a winger. They're going for the cup here.
When you're on top of the Eastern Conference, you're going for the cup.
They also need a winger, and they preferably a scoring winger. I mean, they have some guys in roles where, you know, they are probably playing a little bit above their head. So I think a scoring winger is something, and those are around. I mean, scoring wingers out of anything. You know, up the middle, you're going to have a hard time getting something. Top four defensemen are hard to come by. But you can add a secondary defenseman like we just mentioned and some goals. I mean, you're 11th in the league in goal scoring.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, you get a lot of it from a lot of places. So another winger who can contribute a little bit on the offensive end would be nice.
Right, and Richie, the New York Rangers, just like some other teams we've talked about, just like the Ottawa Senators and the Boston Bruins, teams that have been good all year. I mean, the Rangers haven't had that many slides. I mean, maybe they don't like how they're playing now, but relatively all year, they've been one of the better teams, and first in the East. And another team, you don't have to do much, and I don't think they will do much. And I think when you hear that Rick Nash isn't going to the Rangers.
No,
it's not happening.
Doesn't make sense.
It's just not happening. I don't even know why that comes up in conversation. You need one or two. They've got the cap room, sure. They've got the cap room, but it's not just. Granted, we've had the salary cap since the lockout, and it's important. But it actually isn't all about the salary cap. Mm. There is the winning factor.
Well, yeah, I mean, winning is a lot of factors.
Yeah, mainly those two, though.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the New York Islanders. They are a seller.
And they're sellers, but they're...
We think they're a seller, which means they'll probably buy.
Yeah, they're seller. I mean, we talked about guys on the market they can deal. Rolston, Pandolfo, Eaton, Steos, Dracena, Nabokov, all six pending UFAs. All six carry very little value. I think Nabokov carries the most value there because he looked pretty good when he played in town. There are some teams like Chicago that need goaltending, and he's cheap. He would make sense. Other teams that maybe want to add depth, 6-7 defense, and probably 7th defense on all those three, and really good teams. And Rolston, Pandolfo, fourth-line left wingers, although Rolston's playing a third-line left winger role on the island. A guy, Parenteau, is also the pending UFA. I see them trying to re-sign him.
Yeah, I agree.
And they said they're going to shelve talks at the end of the year. I don't see him going unless they really feel like they're far apart. But overall, I see all those guys, you know, generating very low picks, and maybe a guy like Nabokov getting you a little bit of a higher pick.
Philadelphia, buyers. They acquired Nicklas Grossman, yeah. So they've at least started on their defense. Wouldn't be surprised to see them do some additional work there. Wing is really where they're looking.
I think depth winger, Drew, because you got Giroux and Briere up the middle, and you got guys like Voracek. Jagr's is always suspect with injuries. Voracek can't always score as much as you want him to. Hartnell's had a great year. Van Rien's like being injured in concussion. And I know they think he's
back in the lineup today.
Yeah, he's moving forward to being back, but with a concussion,
back in the lineup for the Flyers today.
Right, and so you never know though how long a guy like that, you know, last back in the lineup, whether it's long-term or, you know, obviously he's back, but whether he gets re-injured, a depth guy so you can fill in for him. And I know you have guys like Matt Reed. Another winger, though, would be nice for them. A guy who can do a little bit of both.
With Van Riemsdyk back in the lineup today, is that, does that put his name right back into the trade discussions?
Well, it does. Now, but who, but matching up with who?
Well, I mean, the talk was, you know, it's been Toronto
that's
somewhat.
Over now. They got the defenseman. I mean, Grossman's like Shen, and he cost them nothing, so.
Yeah.
It never really made much sense to me.
It's made up. Okay. I do know for a fact, though, going back for a second, that Toronto is interested in Rick Nash and that the teams are...
Hang on. Should we get to the illegal curve breaking news with
yeah.
that? Yeah. You're willing to go out on a limb and say a team, the Maple Leafs, are interested in Rick Nash?
But this is the
I know. I mean,
I'm
telling you that the teams are... Okay.
When you got the seller,
you a little bit of information
Columbus,
and you throw me under the
Columbus,
bus.
No, what were you going to say?
No, Richie, Columbus. The teams are engaging in dialogue. I think they're taking close looks at each other's assets. And
how constructive is that dialogue?
More so than just talking. I think there are they're both looking at each other's assets pretty closely. So it's not something like, you know, oh, what do you want for him? What do you want for him? These guys have been scouting each other's teams closely. Based upon a framework.
How does a first-round pick not enter that discussion?
It probably does.
They're not giving Kessel. They're not giving Lupul. I mean,
how does Toronto have the goaltender that Columbus needs?
You're in a situation where you
don't necessarily think that there's a goaltender is the be-all and end-all for Columbus. I don't.
Okay.
Basing a trade on Rick Nash on goaltending, that's a bad thing to base it on. I'm going to say that right away. There's no guarantees
the Leafs roster is Rick Nash worth?
I'm telling you that they're evaluating it. I don't know if it's going to be a deal for sure, but I'm telling you that Columbus is seriously evaluating the Leafs roster.
Okay.
That's probably pretty depressing.
Pittsburgh.
Quickly, though. We'll get to Columbus after, but that contract might not be might be burdensome, and we haven't really addressed that. We'll address that when we talk about Columbus.
Pittsburgh. They're buying. They need a defenseman and a centerman.
And Mike Colligan, a guy we had on the show, was it last week?
Yeah.
He wrote about a really good three-part piece about it. They need a physical defense when they want to clear the front of the net. He told us that last week. Checking center, I think, two guys.
Yep.
And willing to trade guys like Paul Martin. He's been a bust. Not a physical guy. Not the best offensive defenseman. Moves the puck pretty soft. Guys like Tangrady and Jeffrey, he speculates, might be on the move.
Yep.
I think a physical defenseman is a guy that they could add.
Gil would have made sense. Because he was on Pittsburgh.
Yes.
But again, spot check, Brian Allen.
Allen is somebody that Mike talked about. I think that could be a nice fit.
They're also another team, too. Stahl coming back is huge. Crosby's an X factor. We have absolutely no idea what's going to happen with that. You have to assume that he's not coming back until we hear something that he is. But right now, you have to assume he's not coming back. But I still like the way... I think Pittsburgh's in a great spot. There isn't that much pressure, but I still think that they're good enough, led by Malkin. Malkin's just ridiculous, the season he's having. I'd agree with that. The physical defenseman and maybe another winger.
Checking center, because you're elevating Stahl up to a higher role because you don't have Crosby.
Right. Now, if Crosby
if you want him to score, then you have to kind of restrict his checking responsibilities a bit.
If Crosby's back anytime in the next 6 weeks, that's the ultimate trade deadline acquisition right there.
Well, that's the best player in the game.
Yeah. The Devils, they've already made a couple moves.
Yep.
They added depth up front, and we said their best trade line acquisition might be Travis Ajak in 3 weeks.
Yep. Right.
And they'll be strong up the middle there.
They got
Ponkarovsky. Add him to your third line. You have depth. You can score with all different lines now. With Clarkson, you can shift him around. With Zubris, he's on the third line the other night. You can play second line. Well, he's not great in that role. They needed an offensive...
They quietly picked up Steve Bernier, who's
but you need an offensive...
on the Devils. I don't know, but no.
They need an offensive... They need an offensive defenseman.
You talked about that already.
They've been linked to Marek Zeglicki, which would be the ultimate buy. A guy who can move the puck and who's going to be cheap because he's fallen out of favor in Minnesota.
The other guy that I said... weeks ago, and then apparently someone else mentioned this, but I said Oduya would be a good fit on the Devils because he played there before. But yeah, that's a team. You're right. They're getting Zajac back. They've already made the Ponikarovsky move, a couple moves here and there. I just talking about this during this our trade deadline show, I still think there's going to be not as many moves as people expect.
Well, we'll be
less moves than last year. Put it on the board.
Disagree.
Yeah, I disagree with you also.
Well, That's what the show is all about. You guys disagree with me.
Richard and I disagree.
Right, it's like opposite day, 365 days a year on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Fair enough.
I'm never right.
Why don't we go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to start on the Western Conference. We're going to start with the Central Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going team by team, division by division with our trade deadline preview on TSN 1290. Down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Richard Pollock is across from me. Ezra, the Ultimate Warrior Ginsburg, is next to me. I'm Drew Mandel. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. How did you get that face paint on so quickly, Ezzy? That's the question I want to know.
I love it.
I don't know why.
Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 6, I think it was, in Toronto at Sky Dome. Remember that? And Ultimate Warrior beat Hulk Hogan. It was like the passing of the torch.
Drew, for all your criticism of us having this music being played, you actually are a big wrestling fan.
I'm the big wrestling
fan. Ezra's the big wrestling fan.
Favorite wrestler right now? Funkasaurus. Google Funkasaurus. Used to be Brutus Clay, I believe.
What about Booker T? Is he still around?
He does analysis, Booker T.
Oh, he's analysis.
Yeah, he does. He's
He's on the Illegal Curve Wrestling Show as Booker T right now. Let's continue going division by division, team by team.
Wrestler by wrestler.
Sure, that too. The Northwest Division. Let's start with the Edmonton Oilers. Definitely a seller.
Definitely a seller.
Because they are in the cellar.
Ooh, well played, Drew.
Thank you. How about that? Hemsky, Habby Boulin, Cam Barker.
Cam Barker, if anybody wants to take him, I think nobody wants to really take him. Hemsky is the big guy there. Right. And Habby Boulin has another year in his deal. So will anybody actually take that on? I don't see anybody taking that on with a guy like Nabokov. Maybe the Islanders are going to claim he's unavailable, but if you offer enough, he'll be available. When you're comparing those two guys and the contract's, I think, about $3 million difference, and the play is probably angling towards Nabokov, why would you go for Habby Boulin? Hemsky's a big one. And I know that at the beginning of the year he struggled in Edmonton overall this season. He's still got a lot in the tank as far as I'm concerned. He's in a situation where they haven't been competing. You put him on a talented roster with talented players. I think he gets reinvigorated. He's a great puck handler. He can create. I think he could fit in L.A. I think he could fit in Detroit. I think he could fit a number of places.
How many years has it been now that we've been talking about Hemsky being traded? It seems like every year for the last six years.
Mismanaged because you're leaving as a pending UFA now, so you really don't get much back for him. If you want to trade him, you should trade him last year, the year before.
Even though there might be some disbelief that he is going to L.A., it's pretty documented that they want him. And L.A. is, to me, with Hemsky, it's how desperate are you to get him? Because he's the type of guy that Craig mentioned Washington, and Richie asked Craig Custance about Washington. And Craig said, well, if you're a buyer, which, we all agree that they have to be, if you're a buyer, do you really think you're one or two players away? Do you think if you add Alex Hemsky, that's going to make you a Stanley Cup contender?
Well, if
you're not Washington, you have to be another team, because if you're going to give away a young asset, a young prospect, or even a higher draft pick, a second or first rounder with maybe a second liner.
I think he makes sense in Boston or L.A.
I think
he's a right winger.
Yeah.
He can create offense. I mean, Boston doesn't need another big guy because they have so many big guys to kind of protect him. I think Boston or L.A. makes the most sense for him.
But if you're L.A., we'll get to L.A. afterwards. We'll get to the Pacific Division afterwards. Let's leave it there. Let's go to Vancouver.
Okay, well, Vancouver, I think they have... I mean, Drew, they're...
Can they buy class? Can the city buy class at the trade deadline?
They're just so good at so many areas, Drew. They're great at power play. They're great in the penalty kill. I think that the need they have is on right defense. Because on the right defense is where your weakness lies for the Vancouver Canucks. And a Salo injury away again throws guys into the mix. And Ballard's injured now. Not really sure. They're kind of figuring out what's wrong with him and how long he's out. They don't really trust him anyways. To me, a right side defenseman is the key here. A guy who can maybe play top 4 minutes and lessen Sammy Salo's load or be ready to go into that role if it happens to be the case that he gets injured again, which happens quite often.
Anybody jump to mind?
A right side defenseman. That's a good question. I've been pondering, what would be the kind of defenseman that would fit well with them. It's hard because there aren't that many defensemen available. I mean, I'm not necessarily sure. I have to give it a little bit more thought, probably.
Sure. Well, we'll get to that. Don't worry.
I mean, a guy, a guy like Brett Clark, who's played both sides in the past. We talked about him with Washington. He's played both sides in the past.
Right.
He can move a little puck a little bit. He can play defensively a little bit. He could work there. Okay. Pending UFA.
Again, I mean, Vancouver's a team that doesn't need it doesn't have to be a big move. I mean,
Might be Pavel Kubina. I mean, Vancouver as a team can skate.
Yeah.
He can play the sixth defenseman role, the third pairing role. Not a great skater. Move the puck. He's had playoff experience, which will help them. A guy like Kubina could be a guy who'd fit on their back end.
Yeah, and you have to think, with last year, again, of any team that has the most to prove in the playoffs, aside from maybe the Sharks, is the Canucks, because of what happened last year, and they know that. And the most important thing, I mean, you know, with the talent that they have, you know that they're going to outscore most teams on any given night, and their power play, like Richie said, is fantastic, and they're a very well-coached team, and everyone knows that already. The big thing is not repeating the mistakes of last year, and I'd have to think that there are a few guys out there that would be an upgrade on what they have. And I think at forward, the guy that I think has made the maybe a couple guys, but guys that weren't there last year that have made the need to not get any forwards are Cody Hodgson and Booth.
Yep.
David Booth. Acquiring David Booth was a real coup.
And when did they acquire him? They acquired him way earlier in the season.
A couple months ago. For nothing.
Really. Yeah, for nothing.
He took on his contract.
Yep. And Cody Hodgson has in his third year, finally, given them, I think he's got 15 goals now or something. He's finally giving them that third scoring line role, even second line, if he needs to, projecting forward. But, yeah, another team that needs a defenseman. I mean, it was Andrew Alberts before, but Dan Hamhuis has had a great year. Alex Edler's taken over and really led that defensive core. Bieksa is solid.
Bieksa is not great defensively, though. He makes a lot of errors. And from what the games I've seen them play quite a bit, and he makes a lot of defensive errors that I think he makes a lot of great plays offensively, but he does cost them defensively. You'd like a little bit more consistency from him on the back end there.
Calgary Flames, really? You think they're a buyer?
Well, I think they are. I mean, based on what they've done, they're a buyer. I mean, they're not going to mortgage the future completely, but if you watch them play, they obviously miss Curtis Glencross, who a favorite of mine. I love the way he plays this game.
Yep.
And David Moss. I mean, that would really solidify their second line, because right now they have Camilleri in the second. Their first line is Jokinen, Tanguay, and Iginla. Their second line is Mike Camilleri up the middle, actually playing a nice defensive role, and then nobody. These guys who they're playing, like, nobody knows about.
Kostopoulos and Blake Como.
Yeah, and, you know, AHL guys, and they're calling up, and Bowman, all those other guys. I forget how to pronounce the names. But you add Moss and Glencross back there. Well, then you put them on the second line, and Glencross, Camilleri, Moss isn't that bad of a second line. You still need more scoring, though. You can't score. You need more scoring. You need a scoring forward. They don't grow on trees. You don't have much to offer. So unless you're going to do kind of a straight-up defensive swap for an offensive swap, you're probably going to stay close to what you are right now.
Right, and you know that I'm not really a huge fan of starting rumors, but it's not really a rumor, but we're talking about what they need. And a guy we were talking about earlier that might work on Calgary, Richie, is maybe a Tuomo Ruutu.
Well, he fits in exactly with the way you want to play the game, like Ben said, but what are you giving up?
Yep.
They can't afford to give up draft picks. It's enough already.
Minnesota, they're selling. The only asset that really people would appeal is Marek Sedlicki. He waived his no trade clock to go to Jersey. That deal hasn't been consummated yet.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy they're going to deal. The rest of the guys are signed long term or really have limited value. Their system's stacked with all. They've rebuilt pretty well, so they're in this for the long term. But maybe a guy like Mike Lundin, although he didn't make the trip, so he's injured right now.
He played against the Jets on Thursday.
He didn't make the trip. Michael Russo reported this morning for their road trip. I think they're going to Chicago. In any event, a guy like Greg Zanon is a very underrated defenseman, a solid stay-at-home defenseman. He would fit on a lot of teams, Drew. Greg Zanon would be great on Vancouver. He would be terrific on Vancouver. I'm not keeping abreast of exactly what's going on in Minnesota, but I'm assuming they're going to try and re-sign him.
Sure.
If he's a guy who does hit the market, watch out for many teams wanting him, because he's the kind of guy who would fit in extremely well.
What does he do so well?
Great defensively, block shots, gets in the lane, can be physical. I really like him. He's underrated. He doesn't get enough attention. And he's a guy who would fit really well in Vancouver, really well in many other teams, too.
So would he be Mark Stewart-esque if Jets fans?
Better
than Mark Stewart.
Better, yeah.
Okay. Last team in the Northwest, Colorado Avalanche. We'll see them tomorrow night, so you can watch for that. O'Brien, Giguere,
Giguere, I toss out there. I don't know. I mean, they have Varlamov long-term. Giguere signed to a reasonable deal at $1.25 million, so that makes them both attractive to Colorado and attractive to another team. Signed for next year, too. If they can get something for him, I would, although I know you want to insulate insulate Varlamov, but you also gave a first-round pick for him, so you have to have confidence in him. A guy like David Jones might move. These are all pending UFAs. Jones, McClement, Henwick, O'Brien. Jones has the most value there, big guy, some skill. I wonder what he could maybe gather some attention on the market. Call going to speculate that maybe Pittsburgh would be interested in a guy like that. I think there would be interest in a guy like that. But as they're looking long-term here.
Well, Colorado's got the most cap space in the NHL.
Looking long-term. Yeah. I mean, they're looking to build around Duchesne and the Landeskog and Eric Johnson and all those guys.
Yeah.
And Varlamov and the people they have in the system there. So O'Reilly and all that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if another team where the future is looking. I mean, if you tank for long enough, usually you become better.
It's looking very good in Colorado and Edmonton. The future is bright. You got to go through these years, but looking forward, I mean, there's so much talent there. It's going to be fun to watch those teams, and it's going to be it's a good position for your teams when you know you're not going to make the playoffs, and you can sell guys that aren't part of the long term plans. It's if there's one good thing about being in the cellar, it's that you get to be a seller.
You don't have to be these tweener teams like the Jets are, where you're not sure if you are or if you're not and what you do and everything else. Yeah. That's good. Let's go to break. When we come back, we still have two divisions to go through. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Trade Deadline Preview, live on TSN 1290. I just don't understand what your infatuation with wrestling theme songs is today. No, we don't need to keep playing it. That's enough. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Drew, you know what? You got to lighten up.
Yeah, Drew, you're going to get a Stone Cold Stunner from Ezzy soon.
Have some fun, yeah. I'm going to give you the Ezzy
Stunner. I have no problem having fun. I just don't quite understand why all of a sudden you're infatuated with wrestling today.
Just because you're with Troy now in the mornings doesn't mean you have to treat us like secondary citizens.
I bet Troy would appreciate it if I did the show and we played a little old wrestling music.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not appreciating it. I'm just not understanding the infatuation with it all of a sudden.
Could we get Barry Horowitz's theme music for the next one?
I'm pretty sure it was the Hora. I swear to God, I think it was the Hora.
He was the Hebrew Hammer.
Havanagila. No,
yes, Havanagila.
Sorry, the Havanagila.
And he used to slap his back. That's what he would do. That was his thing when he came out. Barry Horowitz is an underrated wrestler. He used to wear those purple wrestling shorts. He was a good wrestler. Good, solid. What was his finishing move? Might have been the...
Did he always lose?
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite moves, wrestling moves, Drew, was the Bret the Hitman Hart Russian leg sweep. I used to really like that move.
Let's get to the Central Division.
Can we? Please? Pretty please? Central Division, Detroit Red Wings. This is just such a loaded division. It's unbelievable.
It's pretty loaded.
I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets are just a stacked... No, wait, sorry. Detroit Red Wings, as usual, at the top of the Western Conference.
Penalty, what are you guys on the spot right now? Who's leading the NHL in game-winning goals?
I'm going to put you on the spot. Who cares?
Johan Franzen.
That's great. Thank you for that useless piece of information.
How's that useless?
Pretty. How is that useful?
Well, it's not useless. It's game-winning goals. Goals that were scored to win the game.
I'm not saying that the goals are useless. I'm saying that the information that you just said is useless.
I think
not really.
Okay, boys. I think that the Red Wings actually are 19th in the league in penalty kill. These things are very important when you match up with, if, for example, say you're Detroit, you match up in the conference final with Vancouver.
Sure.
Top power play unit in the game.
Right.
You want to be able to PK. So I think, adding a PK forward, a depth forward there, and a depth defenseman as well. I know they like Kindle, but maybe a veteran defenseman you can throw in there into the tough sledding. You have so much, obviously, you have so much depth around the roster, but if you can add depth forward, responsible defensively, and a depth defenseman, kind of the same, then I think you'd be doing well. But there again, not dire needs, but the luxury, first world problems, as they say on Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. That's very relevant of you there with that first world problems.
It's a modern comment.
St. Louis Blues. First of all, are they for real?
Well, Drew, are they for real?
You've got to get better on the road.
I got to get better on the road, as you made a good point. They're actually unbelievable at home and poor on the road.
10-12-3 on the road, which bodes well for the Winnipeg Jets, who play them next Saturday, which is why we'll be on at 7 a.m.
Yeah, they don't score enough for my liking, Drew.
You and I will be on at 7 a.m. Rich, Ezzy will be on about 8:30.
I'll be here. They don't
score
at 6:45.
They don't score enough, so I think their need is a scoring winger and a scoring center, if not both. What they have to give up, they have an interesting asset, and that's Ben Bishop. And I believe he was called up yesterday. Ben Bishop is
Colorado College?
6'7". I'm not sure what he went to. 6'7", goaltender in the AHL, who's been tremendous. He's actually coming up. And
I'm thinking of Ben Blood. Never mind.
Bob McKenzie, it's UND. Bob McKenzie wrote about it, about how he's a Group 6 free agent. So he gets in, I think, 15 games or something like that. I'm writing about it for that Pavlich piece I'm doing. 15 games, he qualifies. You retain his rights for the next year.
Right.
So Ben Bishop's a guy who, if you acquire him, a team like Tampa Bay, and you play him enough, you retain his rights for next year. He's an asset, and an asset that can probably bring them something back pretty significantly.
He's a very unusual. You don't see very many Group Six free agents.
Nope,
it's an unusual free agency situation.
Yes.
But he's got a lot of talent.
Yes, and people like him. So a team that's starved for goaltending, give up a scoring forward for him, and then the Blues are able to address the need and not really deprive themselves of anything on the roster.
And if you're St. Louis, I mean, you have to deal him because, I mean, you know, even if Brian Elliott comes back to Earth. It's no big... Exactly. He's a UFA or an RFA. It's one of those... I mean, even if Brian Elliott comes down to Earth, you have Yaroslav Halak.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's, an enviable position to be in.
I think when we get to the playoffs, Drew, they're going to ride Halak.
I would think they should.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Elliott's been a nice story, but, I mean, he's kept Halak fresh this year.
You talk about track records, too.
Right.
Halak's track record in a pressure-filled market, beating Washington and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a guy who can face the music, face a top team, face a barrage of shots. And, you know, when you're playing against a Ken Hitchcock team, the way that this team is playing so well because they've bought in, and that's a cliche statement, but they have bought in, and Alex's team was on the show a couple weeks ago speaking about that. They play the system so well, and everything's from the outside. And these goalies look great, but I'll tell you something. Steve Mason looked pretty darn good with Ken Hitchcock as his coach, too.
And
Roman Čechmánek looked pretty good. So let's not all continue to praise these goaltenders as being one of the reasons why the team's doing success, has been successful, excuse me. I think very much of the reason for the success is more so, I think, the system than the player. And similar, we'll talk about Phoenix next segment. Mike Smith suddenly become amazing, or did he fit into a system that has made him look good?
Dave Tippett's system, exactly. Nashville is a very interesting team. You know, it seems like this is the year they're going to have to go for it because it's unlikely they're going to be able to get Suter and Weber under contract.
Right.
So, you know, is this the year that they go for the deep run?
And they have done it before. Remember when they acquired Forsberg?
That's right.
And those guys.
So. That's right. So, I mean, we expect they're going to be a buyer. And they need scoring, and it's the tale we always talk about, the Nashville Predators. They always need scoring.
And, Drew, we mentioned that, you know, Andre Kostitsyn maybe from Montreal to be reunited with Sergei Kostitsyn, but I think they are going to be a heavy buyer, and I think they might want to be one of the most active teams, but I don't know if there's enough that they can buy. Richie, you mentioned Forsberg, and obviously that didn't work out as far as why you would invest that much, and there is a problem going forward with Suter and Weber, that situation, with what Suter going to get.
But I think they're a now team, as you know. We talked about.
Yeah, they are. But
Boston and LA.
They're a now team, but they're not. There's nothing to make me believe that they've done enough to beat Vancouver this year, or beat Chicago this year.
Maybe not, but I think one thing, Ezzy, is when you can.
In the playoffs, I mean.
Right, and Vancouver, obviously, you know, six games last year, and Vancouver did carry the play for the most part. But, you know, as when you have Weber and Suter lining up, and then you can throw Hal Gill out there for a specialized role and improve your penalty kill, and you have arguably the best goaltender in the National Hockey League in Pekka, you can play a defensive system, get timely goal scoring. That's a recipe for, what do you think Montreal did two years ago? I mean, make it to the conference finals. Does it look like they can make their way through three rounds and into the final? Likely not. But if you add some scoring, your chances obviously increase. I mean, that's the obvious statement, but it's the truth. Nashville needs to be able to score goals, though. And you can't, I mean, they're averaging right now 2.74 goals against. So they're actually probably looking to limit their goals against a bit. If you guys remember about a month or so ago, they had a streak where they let in a bunch of goals in a few games in a row.
Right.
And that'll skew your numbers a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get down to the nitty-gritty, but overall talent, and you look at their offensive roster, Drew, and let's look at their forwards. I mean, pull up their forwards and let's talk about them quickly because I think it's worth noting.
Well, when you talk about the Winnipeg Jets,
when their leading scorer is Martin Irat,
right?
It's not enough.
30 points,
a skilled player
points,
who's a second
42
line.
Points.
He's a second line winger. Okay,
yeah.
So you look at that.
Yeah.
David Legwand on a really good team is your third line center. Mike Fisher can be your second line center, but probably a bit of a tweener.
Yeah.
Patrick Hornquist is a top six forward to me. Sergei Kostitsyn, I don't know. Colin Wilson, wanting him to be, you know, they've expected more, but also I think the relationship between him and Trotz isn't great. I mean, he should have been better by now. Spalding's been a nice depth player. But you look at their roster and you think, these are their top scorers we're talking about.
Right.
So how do you take the next level? You need to have guys who can score against the shutdown pairings of Lidstrom.
Right.
Of Keith and Seabrook. Of Edler.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to add. Can you add a player like that? Again, a Hemsky guy, a player like Hemsky would be of interest to them.
Sure.
They'd certainly examine it.
Yeah.
But you don't also necessarily need to restrict yourself to UFAs.
No, that's exactly it. I mean, you can definitely go after a guy who's got some term on his contract. It's not like Nashville doesn't have cap room.
And it's not like Nashville's And they have assets.
And exactly, they have assets, yep. And you've seen them do it before. Most of the moves they make are always reasonable and thought out.
He's a great GM, and Paul Fenn does a great job there too. You don't need one score; you need two.
That's right.
Minimum two.
Two top six forwards.
Two if you want to make
top three forwards.
Two if you want to be legitimate cup contenders.
Yeah.
Chicago Blackhawks, an interesting team. All the talent in the world, struggling only in the sixth spot in the Western Conference. I mean, they had that big win against the Rangers Wednesday night.
Yeah, and they're killing Columbus today.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Illegal Curve hockey team can kill Columbus on a good day. You know, second-line center and a fourth D-man, and, I mean, Johnny Oduya's name has been linked to the Chicago Blackhawks from day one.
They picked up Brendan Morrison, and that hasn't worked out, even though it wasn't that long ago, but... They're still looking for another forward, and again they're an elite team, and again we talked about this a little bit. They want another defenseman, Chicago is an interesting team, Drew, in that last year they were out in the first round, but they had a horrible regular season, and this year they're having a better regular season, and there's a little bit more expectations, even though they're very close to beating the eventual Western Conference finalists in the Canucks, but. It's again a little tweak here and a little tweak there, but there is a concern when a guy like Nick Leddy, even though at the beginning of the year I was really impressed with him, but there is a concern when it gets to playoffs, and we're going to be talking about this more in March and April with matchups. You want to have a guy that's more of a shutdown guy in your second and third pairing, and so there's concerns there. And I imagine they're going to be active. Maybe Oduya, like Huston said, maybe Oduya is a fit, but might not be the best fit, but might be somebody they're looking at.
Well, I think there's a couple issues here, Izzy. And I think the first issue is this, is you have your number one center is Jonathan Toews. We know that, okay?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to argue with that. Two guys who they've been trying to thrust into the center role over the past couple of years, this year Kane, years before Sharp, aren't the best in that role. I mean, ideally they want Sharp on the wing, and ideally they want Kane on the wing with Hossa there and any other guys that they can insulate on the wings, but their centers are strong. They want Dave Boland to ideally be a third-line center to check against the other team's best players because he's so smart.
And he does a great job at that.
He does a great job at that. So they want a second-line center. Morrison was a cheap pickup to see what he could give you. Didn't cost you much.
Right.
You probably like to put him down in like the fourth line. You need a second-line center. You need is in context because many teams can get by with what they have.
Sure.
And they can get by with what they have. Second line center would be a nice asset for them to pick up. And there was rumors for Sam Gagne before, a guy who could played with Kane in the past. You throw him with Kane, you really have depth throughout your lineup. You can put a Hossa, you could have a Toews Sharp combination, a Kane Gagne maybe Hossa, Boland on the that's a stacked team, right? You can put up real two pairings and have the checking line guy beside them, so you have nine players with six scoring forwards. In any event, that's an issue. The second issue is their fourth defenseman, and Nick Leddy's been thrust into a role, and even was last year. If you watch closely against Vancouver, they broke up Keith Seabrook's Brent's brother, Keith and Seabrook,
right?
And they thrust Leddy into a big time role. He's still struggling. He's a young defenseman trying to find his way. He kind of reminds me a little bit of a young Ron Hainsey. But you lost Brian Campbell, and while Brian Campbell has his drawbacks defensively, he is so good at the breakout pass, so good at leading the power play, such a smooth skater and seeing the play, that his defensive drawbacks were overlooked, I think rightfully so, because of what he could bring offensively. Now,
he's handicapped by salary, right?
Right, exactly. So you have to allow Leddy to play maybe a fifth role and pair somebody else with Chalmerson.
Yeah.
Oduya, to me, is a turnover machine, and he makes sense there in a sense, but I think there are better options on the table for them. And I think if they've watched them closely enough, maybe an interest in a guy like Hainsey would be something that they'd look to.
And the Jets,
Hainsey's better than Oduya.
Jets would get more back. Good for the Jets if that's the case.
Well, yeah,
I think Hainsey is a better defenseman. I agree.
I mean, do they have the? And they, I mean, they don't really have. Well, they have $4.7 million in projected cap space, so they can fit a Ron Hainsey. Do you think they need to upgrade in goaltending, or if they upgrade in defense, that'll help the goaltending?
Well, I think that's a good point, but I also think that if you're going to upgrade in goaltending, you don't give much for it. I mean, the talk of mentions Patrick Kane for Ryan Miller again, I'm going to leave the room and never come back because that's never going to happen.
And
is Patrick Kane ever going to be traded unless there's a reason to.
Exactly. If Evgeny Nabokov is a guy, a cheap goalie who you can fit in the cap like nothing, who'd be a nice addition.
Younger than Habby. Habby's another guy, but yeah.
I would take Nabokov over Habby Boulin any day of the week.
Yeah, that's not a debate.
Yes.
Last team in the Central Division, we've talked about them just throughout as we go through all the other teams, the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I want to talk about their seller, Nash, Carter, Huselius, Paulson. Huselius, healthy now, is injured again.
I can check.
I mean, who follows this team? But let's talk about Rick Nash for a second here. Because Rick Nash has a huge cap.
Yeah.
Huge cap hit. And Rick Nash is a great player, guys. And I want to say that first off. He's a great player. Mm-hmm. He's a powerful player. But he's a shoot-first player. And we said in the summer, Carter and Nash, the combination.
Yep.
It's not going to work. They're both shooters.
Both like to have the puck. Both like to shoot it.
And Nash is hard to play with. He's kind of hard to play with. Similar to Matt Sundin. We've mentioned this in the show before. Similar to Matt Sundin. Even similar to Iginla, but harder to play with than Iginla, because Iginla has a great one-timer. Nash is a carry-the-puck player. He wants a puck on his stick. He wants to shoot it on the rush. He wants to have the puck on his stick all the time. And a lot of passers like to have the puck on their stick. And shooters like to shoot. It's a hard guy to mix with. He's not a one-shot guy, necessarily. I mean, he's a one-shot guy, but when the puck's on his stick, he shoots. He's not a one-timer kind of guy, is what I'm saying. He's hard to play with. He's not the best passer in the game. He's powerful. He can control the boards. But is he worth $7.8 million cap it for long term? And he's a power forward, and power forwards tend to wear down easier than a guy like Jeff Carter, who's more of a skating guy who doesn't get as physical. So there are drawbacks with a Rick Nash. Is he worth it depending on what you can give up for him and all that stuff? Sure, there are situations where he is. But let's not
look
with rose-colored glasses.
Give me one reason why Columbus should trade Rick Nash at
now,
the trade deadline when there's a limited market for him versus versus in the summer at the NHL draft when every team could potentially put something together
for him.
It's
a fair point. I think the only thing is that a team gets desperate to accomplish something in the playoffs this year that they give you extra than they would in the summer.
Look at the teams that might be interested in him. LA, they talk about LA because they need a goal scorer.
Yep.
LA's offer isn't going to be, I can't see it being any different in the summer versus it is now.
If anything, better in the summer.
Well, I think in the summer you're trying to create a more competitive market.
Yeah.
Here you're trying to take a competitive market, probably a more depressed competitive market, and what you're trying to do there is play on the team's desperation. For example, Brian Burke, Ron Wilson, the desperation for Ron Wilson to maybe keep his job, pushing Brian Burke to make an acquisition like this. They're good friends. Who knows? Something like that. Philly wanting to make a statement after getting rid of Richards and Carter. L.A. with Dean Lombardi's job maybe on the line.
Yeah.
You play on that desperation, you might get more than you deserve.
Let's go to break. When we come back, one final segment. Worth noting about Ben Bishop, according to at Hildy Mac, who tweets at Illegal Curve. That's
from
Laura,
Atlanta.
Yeah,
from
that's
Atlanta.
Laura listening in from Atlanta. Bishop has to play 30 minutes in 17 games this year, which if he doesn't, he becomes a UFA. Okay. So there you go.
Thanks,
that's how it
thanks
works.
Thanks for that. Laura listens to IC. Thanks, Laura, for that.
If you're Tampa, you push them and say, where else are you going to go to get that much ice time?
I agree with you there. Anyways, let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, the Pacific Division on our trade deadline preview show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Catch all of the home team's games on their numerous HD big screens. Be sure to join Illegal Curve Hockey for their weekly appearances at the Cheer Bar and Grill. I will be at the Cheer Bar and Grill later on this evening. You guys are heading down to Grand Forks for a UND game. It's okay, you're missing out on your cousin's birthday. I'm sure that's no big deal.
Drew the Hitman Mandel.
I am?
Yeah.
Who?
Leah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's funny because she's going to university. She's doing law school in Grand Forks. And we're going to Grand Forks, and she's coming back to Winnipeg.
Yeah, well, we're trying to do three games in 3 nights.
It's definitely not irony.
Yeah, irony is the exact opposite of the literal figurative sense.
I don't even think that's a coincidence. I think that's just, again, relatively useless information.
Is it not onomatopoeia?
You might be one of those. Let's go to the Pacific Division. San Jose Sharks.
Well, we talked about them. I think they're a buyer. I think they want a third-line winger there to help to the depth. I think some of
they got
guys,
their third-line center, so now they need a third-line winger.
Some of the guys they have on the third or fourth lines, I think they like to move up a little bit. Also, we talked about the defenseman. So I think that a penalty-killing D-man would be a nice addition there, a shot-blocking guy, a guy they can rely on and help with Doug Murray with the defensive responsibilities.
Yeah, it seems
now their system is not strong. It's weak. They've kind of threw it out there to get guys like Brent Burns and get guys like Havlat. So it's not strong. Whether they deal some picks, that's probably something that they might do. But the time is now. Let's not make any mistake.
Well,
the time's now. And a lot of their top line's older, but and they have a veteran team. So yeah, the time is now.
Agreed. Next team in the Pacific Division, the LA Kings. We know what their issue is. I mean, they're the lowest scoring team in the NHL.
scoring winger. It's amazing. They've scored like just over 2 goals a game.
Yeah.
They need scoring wingers, and they need speed. Preferably get two of them, and preferably both of the same assets, both of the same qualities. I'm not so sure they can do that. The assets to trade are guys like Jonathan Bernier and Voinov, the young defenseman they have. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they do. Maybe they
I like
trade
Voinov.
Maybe they, yeah. Maybe I don't know. I haven't seen him play, but maybe they have a young. Maybe they do an active roster player, maybe a defenseman, maybe a Jack Johnson for a big time.
Well,
player.
That's the talk lately. Is Jack Johnson might be on
who
the
I think is overrated, by the way. So I wouldn't be hesitant to deal him for a big-time winger.
If you can get, and it can't be a rental though. I mean, they can't. Mm. I mean, you can't be a rental. They need a guy permanently on that to anchor
right.
that offense.
Right. And Hemsky, you know,
Hemsky's
the guy,
not the answer.
No. Well, Hemsky.
Hemsky helps him though.
Helps him for this year, yeah. But what, I mean, you can't give up. I mean, is he?
You don't give up Jack Johnson for Hemsky, obviously.
Obviously, no. But I mean, who knows? This is Steve Tambellini you're talking about in Edmonton. Who knows what kind of over the moon he's shooting for in terms of for Hemsky?
Well, nobody finishes last better than Steve Tambellini.
He's an expert at finishing last when it comes to that. Phoenix Coyotes, not really a buyer, not really a seller. I mean, they definitely can't buy. They can't afford
anything. No, they're a seller. They're trying to sell their team.
Well played. You know what, Drew? I put them in stand pat because at the end of the day, yeah, they've done really well with what they have. They need a scoring center really badly. They need a scoring center, but we don't think they're going to buy unless they trade an active roster player for somebody else. Okay, but I think they're going to sit with what they have and just try and get by.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, Mike Smith has done a good job coming in for Brizgalov. And yeah, another team that, it's funny, in the Western Conference, I really believe that this year we're going to see very few upsets. And I think it's especially top-heavy in the East. But Phoenix and L.A., they're really quietly in there. And you know, Colorado is sticking around. But Phoenix, I don't know. I mean,
I'll tell you what. If you're
it's an easy first round if you're playing the Coyotes year.
If you're Detroit and Vancouver, who are right now, playing Phoenix and LA, those should be sweeps if not five gamers.
Well, Phoenix, yeah, but what does LA do at the deadline? Does that change that?
That changed that. I mean, if LA does enough at the deadline, then you know maybe they start to climb up in the Western Conference. But
maybe they take some while to get going, new coach and all that stuff, and new additions, and then they get rolling right before the playoffs.
Yeah, it's definitely the top 10 teams in the NHL are pretty clear. There's definitely a disparity between the top 10 and the bottom 20 in the NHL this year. Almost nobody can match Detroit and Vancouver. I mean, if Chicago gets going, they're a team to, I mean, you know, you're San Jose right now. And, I mean, Vancouver found this out last year in the first round. You know, you're San Jose. You're playing the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round right now. That's not a good thing.
Bruce Dabagan today saying, you know what the Blackhawks are doing. They're just waiting to get into the first round to play Vancouver.
Well, I mean,
that was, again, one of the best series of all time, especially first round. That was exciting last year.
It certainly was. And I think you might hear a little bit more about the Vancouver fans coming up in cheers and jeers today. Just say, throwing that out there as little bit of a preview.
That was an anticlimactic preview.
Sorry. Dallas Stars,
just kidding, Drew.
They've already started selling. They sold Nicklas Grossman to the Flyers.
Yeah.
Guys that are willing to sell, I think, is Radek Dvorak. He's a guy, actually, former Atlanta Thrasher. He can kill penalties. He can be a speedy third, fourth. He's lost a step, a third or fourth line right winger. But you know what? Morrow was somebody I talked about before, prior to injury. And Mike Ribeiro, a guy who scored a nice highlight reel goal, $5 million for this year and next year. A guy that they would like to trade if they were able to. Because Jamie Benn's ascended to the number one role there.
Yeah. Richie, just not on the topic of trades, because why would we be talking about trades? It's just the trade deadline preview show. Has there been a team that's been less talked about than the Dallas Stars this year?
Or less attended.
Well, I was watching the game the other day against Calgary, and there's four people there.
Yeah, it's just like
one of them was Dirk Nowitzki.
Mark Cuban. Or no, Mark Cuban's on Shark Tank now. I don't know if he goes to those Dallas Star games. Do you watch that show? Shark Tank? It's like the American Redemption Inc. Anyways.
Cut his mic. Yeah, thank you. Brendan Morrow's an interesting guy. He's on the IR right now, I believe. He's out with, a back injury.
Well, I mean, that's slippery slope here, what you're going to give up for a guy with a back injury before the playoffs.
Right. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, cause if he was available and he was healthy, he would certainly have a big, there'd be a big market for Brendan Morrow.
Yeah, there would be a big market for him, a guy scoring winger. And then you see the teams, you know, maybe I can see a team like Philly wanting to get in there. Then the Rangers calling on that, Toronto calling on that, Boston calling on that. There's a lot of teams that would call on that.
The Anaheim Ducks are the final team in the Pacific Division, and they're a very interesting team. Let me pull up the Ducks and their schedule for the next, you know, until the trade deadline. They play tomorrow at Florida.
The Ducks
at Tampa,
scary good
at Carolina, home to Chicago, at Colorado, home to Buffalo.
Not a hard schedule.
Not a hard schedule there. Those are six games. I mean, they might. Let's see. Yeah. Pardon me. They have five games until the trade deadline. easily could win, well, maybe not easily, but they could definitely win, you know, four of those games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been tremendously hot lately. They're, you know, 6-1-3 in their last 10.
Yep.
Are they, I mean, do they have aspirations of getting into the playoffs there? You know, what do they have to trade? I mean, they're not going to trade Timu unless he has to be traded.
If you didn't have aspirations, why would you have won 6 out of your last 10? I mean,
I think it's more so management. I think
right now, yeah. I mean, realistic?
I think Vishnovsky's a guy who could create some interest. Hagman's more of a guy you get for 5th or 6th round pick.
Yep.
Solani is a guy who may be on the market.
Well, Timu doesn't get traded unless Timu goes to Bob Murray and says,
LA wants Timu, he drives down the street and plays in the playoffs and they're out of it. What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm not saying, but Bob Murray's not going to put Timu available unless Timu comes to him and says, you can trade me to a contender.
What if Havla doesn't come back from the groin injury as well as they expected and they can throw
back to San Jose.
Timu on the right side with Couture and Klo?
Legitimate options that you've mentioned, but they don't come to fruition unless Timu says you can trade
me. And if they keep winning, I mean, I don't think they can make the playoffs, but if they keep winning.
They did this last year.
You see, yeah.
They did this last year. Remember, Carlisle was all but fired last year. Then they went on that incredible run, and I mean, what'd they go to? Five games or six games against Nashville?
Six games. Yeah. So, very close series. You know what, Drew? Yep. When you have that much top-end talent, you can never write them off.
That's the problem. You're never a real seller because you have so much top-end talent.
And now Getzlaff and Perry are free agents not for this season, but after next season. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there in terms of the summer. I assume the team's going to try and sign both because they have Ryan signed long-term.
Well, and you know, if you can... Are you willing to tie up your cap space in those two guys? In those three guys, I think you would be willing to do so.
But they're going to go for it. I mean, how many teams? There's some teams that can't go for it. You're going to go for it. I mean, try to win your games. I mean, you're not at the bottom of the West.
Might as well go for it until the deadline.
Yeah. What else are you doing? That's what you're doing. You're not going to get a top five pick.
And you're not
going to maybe a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Your assets aren't crazy enough that you can just
So they're going to go for it. Good for Anaheim. They've had a kind of a disappointing year.
Well, they started off slow and now they're picking it up. So it'll be interesting to see Bob Murray decides to do at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That's the trade deadline.
I'm back in Columbus's roster. Dear God, I mean, let's look at this one.
Okay. Please, can we not?
No, it's enjoyable. You can laugh at it.
For the next 5 years after this year at 4.6. Vermette for the next 3 years after this year at 3.75. Broussard after this year for two more years at 3.2. Carter, 5.2 until 2,800. Rick Nash, 7.8 for the next 6 years. Wisniewski at $5.5 million for the next 5 years after this one. Mark Methot, paging anybody who's ever heard of him aside from us in this room and some hardcore fans, $3 million per year after this year for the next 3 years. Fedor Tootin, $4.5 million for the next 30 years.
Oy vey.
My brain's gone blank.
Steve Mason.
The Scott Housen's obituary as a general manager.
But guys, regardless if, or irregardless, for those who like to
it's
make
not
up
a word,
words.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the people like to make up words.
It's true. He did cover his butt in his terrible English.
Yeah.
It's improved.
Regardless, if Nash or Carter moves, Rick Nash has got to get out of there.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Rick Nash is too talented to be toiling in obscurity there. I'm toiling in obscurity, but I mean, I have nowhere else to go.
I love the argument before he demanded the trade or asked for out. The team's for sure going to keep him through next year's All-Star game. Because the fans really care that he stays there through next year's All-Star game?
Because the NHL really needs to put the All-Star game in Columbus.
And people actually care about the All-Star game? It's so flawed, I don't even want to get into it.
I'll tell you what, exactly. If they won with a team of no-names, they'd appreciate the All-Star game more than if they lost with the team of big names.
Well, at least we have Wisniewski for the next 5 years at $5.5 million.
Another good signing by Scott Housen. Let's go to break. When we come back, one final segment. It's called Cheers and Jeers. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
With your Illegal Curve news update. Three afternoon games today in the NHL. Chicago Blackhawks laid the smackdown on the Columbus Blue Jackets 6-1. Jonathan Taves and Patrick Sharp had 3 points each. The other Patrick Kane had 2 points. The Pittsburgh Penguins are winning the Battle of Pennsylvania 6-3 in the third. Matt Cook is having a career game with 3 points for the Penguins. The ageless wonder, Jaromir Jagr, has 2 goals for Philadelphia. St. Louis leads Minnesota 2-0 in the second. Winnipegger Ryan Reeves scored his first of the season. In Illegal Curve news, Ezra Ginsberg has pledged to donate $50 to charity if he comes late next week. If he is on time, Richard and Drew will spot him the 50. For Illegal Curve news, I'm Michael Remus.
I'll give him credit. He didn't do his annoying voice.
He didn't get the voice. He did a good
job. Illegal Curve news.
I sort of thought at the end he was going to get a little close to doing the voice, but it was okay enough that we let it play throughout the whole thing.
Regular voice was fine.
His voice needed to be louder. The music was too loud during that.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit tweaking on the audio side.
Yeah, the music was too loud.
It's like the first song of a concert. You got to make sure you adjust the next time.
That's fine. Yeah. He'll adapt. But
it's a great job. We should do that. It should be Remus wrap up at the end of every show.
Well, as long as there's afternoon games, we can certainly do that. Yeah, absolutely. That was okay. We'll grant him that one. You guys want to wrap it up, do a little cheers and jeers, yep. end this thing up on a high note?
Sure, Drew.
Let's go, Jimmy.
Cheers.
Jimmy?
Congratulations.
Jimmy.
This is brilliant.
I heard Jimmy. Yeah, that was Jimmy. Did you just call Timmy Jimmy? Call Timmy Jimmy.
Not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I have a hunch I'm getting jeered for that one.
You called Timmy Jimmy.
Not good.
I didn't. I sort of just rolled my T into a J by accident. I do know that it's Timmy. Don't
Tim's only
that.
Been opping our show for over a year.
It's probably over 2 years now, to be honest.
No.
How long have we been on?
A year and a half, not 2 years.
A year and a half.
Let's not get too excited here, Drew.
Time just flies by. What can I say? Richard.
I'm going to give my cheer tonight. They're Hockey Night Canada's featuring the Mind Check, the focus on Rick Rippon and his issues and what he's leaving behind, and you know, helping others and the people who are putting money towards and attention towards his issues and helping others moving forward. I like that they're giving that a feature tonight, and obviously people at Mind Check who've done a great job promoting it should also deserve a cheer.
Okay, sounds good. That's very good. Ezra Ginsberg?
I like that cheer, Richie. I'm going to cheer Evander Kane. He had the big game, 2 goals and an assist and a shootout winner.
You have one thing to do each week, and that's to bring a cheer.
And you bring Evander Kane's 2 goals?
Why can't I? I'm not cheering the goals. I'm cheering him for picking his game up and coming back from a concussion, and he's playing well. You can't. This isn't a debate.
This isn't a bureaucracy.
You can't ask me to cheer someone. And what do I do? What am I, a mindless clone now? I can't have an opinion. It has to be approved by you. Evander Kane's had a good couple hockey games here. I'm cheering him. He's playing well.
Okay.
Why not?
Fine.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Cut his mic. I'm going to jeer the subhuman specimen in Vancouver who. Yes. Spray painted the church that Milan Lucic and his family go to. It almost leaves you speechless, the ignorance that exists. And really, he just capped off his ignorance by spelling Canucks wrong. I mean, I'll tell you
how. What, did he spell it?
He forgot the C.
The beginning C or the middle C?
The middle C. C-A-N-U-K-S.
That's worse.
Yeah. I mean,